sometimes talk to you to try to talk to you to expound scriptures and teach doctrines. That's important. Sometimes to exhort. My burden this morning, by the Lord's help, not going to use a lot of scripture, but try to save us from some of the sorrow that's in the world. I've got a burden for our congregation, for our young people to go the right path. A lot of traps out there in the world. Our congregation had a fast day last Thursday. I wasn't able to be here, but I've learned when we have a fast day like that, that it brings special blessing in the next Sunday worship service. And I'm relying heavily on that this morning, that the Lord will honor the effort that's been put into it that way. He does honor fasting. My topics this morning are, some of it's kind of close, so I'm going to ask us, maybe be best not to do much exhorting after this one. Just pray for me that the Lord help me to get it about where He wants it to be. And I want to tell you a story. Many years ago, in the South, we had a sister in our congregation. She was an African-American sister, and she was elderly, and she passed. So I was called on to do the graveside service. It was a small cemetery, and I would imagine, in fact, I know that practically everyone in it was African-American, because that was the South at that time. And I noticed that there was one marker that was huge. Somebody spent a lot of money on it. So, being me, I lingered till everybody else had gone. Thought I'd get my opportunity. Slipped over there to see what it was, just out of curiosity. Why somebody would spend that much money on something that really couldn't call anybody back, what its meaning was. And had this written on it, and I copied it down, because it struck me so strongly. It's such a remarkable thing to say. It said, Deborah Michelle Beard. Here lies Debbie, a sweet and beautiful girl who lost her life at 20 from grief and jealousy. Her smile brightened our lives, and her memory will always be in our hearts. Deeply missed by her family and friends, may she rest in peace. What a thing to put on a marker. So I thought I would follow up on this and see if I can find out what happened. That was before the days of the internet. So went to the local library and found the dates when she had lost her life. And looked back over old newspapers. Come to find out, she and another young girl about her age, or a little older than she, and a boy, a man actually, took a float trip down the Tangipahoa River. Tangipahoa River, at the place where they put in, at the deepest places is maybe about waist deep. And it's not very wide. It's one of those slow-moving, southern, picturesque rivers. In fact, Tangipahoa has been designated a scenic river by the National Registry. And folks would put in, and they'd float down the river about 10 miles or so, and then somebody would meet them there and take them out. And they got a little over halfway down, and the canoe capsized, or the boat they were in capsized. Everybody who floats down that river capsizes their canoe. That's part of the fun of it. It's hot weather down there, and that's how you cool off. Nothing unusual about that. It wasn't over waist deep. The report in the paper said that she drowned in the river with the other two right there by her, and then dragged herself 100 yards up the bank after she drowned. And they found her under a tree up there. Well, that's ridiculous. But the coroner at that time, I happen to know, was not a very honest man. And so what it amounted to, as best I could tell, is just another black girl in the South lost her life, and so what? And nobody investigated it very much, but it hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And they wrote this story about it. So I copied down the names. And I started trying to call her family members to see if I could get a little more of what would cause somebody to write. She lost her life from greed and jealousy. But what I was able to learn is that this was sort of a triangle. Both these girls were interested in the same guy. And they were taking a float trip down the river together, and drugs were involved, and alcohol was involved. And that's all that I was able to find out, except that this girl's father and mother, after this happened, a few months after, because these things are hard on people.
Yeah.
they separated, and one of them went off to Florida and lived there, and the other one was still living. The mother was still living somewhere in that vicinity. And I thought of the scripture, and I want to quote it to you this day. It's what the Lord told Peter when he saw him toward the end of the journey. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat."
Yes.
Well, that didn't stop with Peter. Deborah Michelle Beard got sifted. And all that was left is chaff. All that's left is heartbreak and sorrow and disappointment. Notice the words that even this person used. Sweet and beautiful girl. She brightened our lives. Her memories will always be in our hearts. God has created every one of us for a purpose.
Yes.
We all have the potential to add something beautiful and important to life. God had a plan for every one of us. It is the devil's business to try to steal that away from us. I am sorry to say, but I'm sure you will agree, that there are many more people who fail the purpose God had in their lives, perhaps, than there are who actually are able to fulfill what they were meant to be. And isn't that a travesty? What if that had happened to Peter? What if it happened to you? Or what if it happened to me? Souls come one to a person. We can't afford to lose our souls, folks. We are absolutely desperate to get to heaven. We've got to do whatever it takes by God's grace. We must go to heaven. I want to talk to you this morning about some of the ways that Satan uses to sift people. Could you open that first folder, Brother Cornelio, where we talk about sin against family? I wonder how many families there are around us today that have spent a good part of the week's wages on those bottles that you see up there on the wall. The Bible told us not to touch strong drink.
Yeah.
I think of that little song that's in our children's Sunday school book, sing in our little song book. And I don't guess I ever hear anybody else call it very much, but I like to call it once in a while, and it's because I have a grief and a sorrow, because I have friends who started out without very much interest in alcohol, but they grew up. And they found the lure of the bottle.
Oh, yes.
And many a person has thrown away, got their wheat sifted with a bottle. The little song says, somebody find that, would you? The number 49, maybe? Touch not the cup, is death to the soul. Many we found who quaffed from the bowl and didn't realize that the fangs of the serpent are buried in it. This is one of the things that the devil uses against families. You see, folks, God deals on the family structure. He started his world with a family. He started, when people went away from God, he started building back with a family, with Abraham and his people. When he called out his people, he called them the children of Israel. They were a family. When the Lord built his New Testament church, he called them the family of God. We are brethren. We are sisters. We need each other.
Amen.
Family is important in this world. You and I were not created to live life independently and separately. People wither when they're put in that kind of situation. The devil knows that too. And he uses all these kind of things to try to destroy family. So I want to warn you against it.
Amen.
All around us are people who glamorize it, advertise it in their commercials, and big strong horses that are pulling the wagons that got the beer in it, and advertise it as all the buddies get together and drink it. The most talented, artistic minds in the world are busy devising ways to advertise this stuff, to sell it to people. They're doing it for money, but the devil's doing it to destroy home.
That's right.
That's part of why the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And we can't afford to go that way, folks. As I said, we're desperate to go to heaven. Would you give us the next one, brother? And did somebody find a verse of that song?
42.
Yes, I can't quote it well enough. We don't, and it's all right, I'll go on. You have it? Yeah, Kendra. Third verse, Kendra, page 42 in the children's book. Bear with us while I was saying this, would you please?
Touch not the cup, yet men are crying. Touch not the cup. Touch not the cup.
window into my own soul. Sometimes when I pray, the faces of these young people come up before my mind, and I wonder which one of them may be caught. That seems too much to bear. There's not a one we want to give up.
Amen.
The alcohol, the whiskey is similar. Would you give us the next one, please? That's used with heroin, but I've used that to illustrate all drug use. I'm dismayed at what's going on here in Shawnee. Just in the most recent session, our legislature removed restrictions against medical marijuana, and now you can buy it all over town. It just seemed like overnight the signs mushroomed, and it makes me wonder how many people were using it clandestinely all the time. It's not an innocent drug.
No.
Tobacco's not an innocent drug. It's a gateway, and it has negative effects of its own. It's bad for folks, and yet people whose real purpose is not to make folks feel better, it's to make money, seize on the opportunity and folks' weakness, and here we go. And we're all going to suffer because of it, folks. And I didn't get a picture of this, but I should have, right down the street. There are people, probably this morning, who are taking money that should be used to feed milk for their babies and throwing it away at the casino. Those places weren't built to make you rich. I've never gambled anything like that. I'm sure I don't understand the allure of it. But I have been amazed, incredible, how grown people can get so captured by that that it looks like it's all they can think of.
Yeah.
And will gamble away their last nickel for almost nothing. It's a trap. It's a trap. The old devil is in that, folks. And what he's after, really, is to destroy your family and your home. And it has that effect, doesn't it? What else do you have in that one, Brother Cornelio? There's the marijuana. I don't know a lot about it, but that seems to be the kind of reaction that it produces in people. And I suppose maybe he feels good at the time, but he doesn't look to me like a man I'd want to hire to come and help me drive nails somewhere. I think that's everything in that folder, isn't it? Oh, this is a serious one, and I want to talk about it a lot today, about adultery. From the standpoint of what I've been mentioning so far, that's an ugly word, and we don't like to deal with it very much because of that's part of the reason why I'm asking you not to exhort very much this morning, because it's easy to be too indelicate with it. But that's a picture of it, isn't it? If you love the first one, why are you holding hands with the second one? There is no logic to what that picture shows. You see, folks, God made Adam in the garden first. And we'll spend a lot on that scripture today. But the Lord caused all the animals to go by Adam and named them. And the scripture tells us, of everything that came by, there wasn't anything found to meet the need in his life.
Yeah.
Horses wouldn't do it. Dogs wouldn't do it. Other kinds of pets and animals wouldn't do it. He needed to help me. I don't think it's accidental that God created Adam first. Adam's stronger than Eve. The Lord wanted Adam to feel the longing so that when he got, could he use the phrase, his delicate princess, he would regard her something chosen and special and beautiful. And that's what happened. He cherished her. When he got Eve, he said, this is the very part of me. This is the essence of what I am, or in my language, this is just what I've been needing. And he put them together. He wanted Adam to think highly of the wife that he had. What a foolish, foolish thing it is to allow the devil to step into what was meant to be so beautiful, fulfilling, a happy relationship, and throw mud on it.
That's right.
Destroy it and break it. I want to warn you against adultery, folks. All of us. I guess you never get so old in life that there's no temptation to that kind of thing. Very few people are able to commit adultery, even in this world, and not suffer terrible consequences from it. The Bible said by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread.
Yeah.
And what he means is when a man is foolish enough to just let his affections run somewhere that they shouldn't go, it can cost him everything he's got. Things he worked hard for. Things that all his honor, recognition, achievement, it can all just be gone. Well, open the next folder if you would, Brother Cornelio. Adulterers. No, open. You can't open, Brother or Brigadier. Open the adulterer's file, please. And that's all you have there. Let me talk about him a little bit anyway. Brigadier General Jeffrey Sinclair wore 3 stars on his shoulders. You don't get that overnight. He attended military colleges. He worked his way up through the ranks. He was a man of distinction, an honored man, a respected man. But it was found out that he'd been having an affair with somebody for 3 years. And during the course of that time, he got her involved in some military secrets and things that he probably shouldn't have done. Mm-hmm. And when he was found, his name was dishonored forever. He was reduced 2 ranks, back to a lieutenant colonel or whatever's below that, and his retirement pay, and he was forced out of the service, all because he wouldn't be true to his wife.
Yeah.
What a foolish thing to do. My point is, there's probably none of us here will ever reach the level of some of these people have. Give me the next one, if you would. Bill Clinton. I've known some people who had contact with him one way or another. I didn't think a lot of him when he was president. But those who knew him said you never were around him. He said he's a dynamic man. He's the kind of man that just makes the room electric when he came into it. Dominated people with his presence. Had a smile for everybody. Warm, friendly handshake. People just loved him naturally who were anywhere around him. And he climbed the political ladder from being a country boy in Hope, Arkansas, all the way up through being the Attorney General of Arkansas and then the governorship, became president and was president for 2 terms. That's about as high as you can go. That's the most powerful man in the world. And threw it all away.
Yes.
In his second bid for re-election, through his wife, you have to think that the scandal that he got into had something to do with the fact that she couldn't get elected. It was a dead weight to her. This young lady beside her, that's not his wife. She was an intern, Monica Lewinsky.
Yes.
Served with him in the office. You know, the old devil makes that seem like such a big thing. You get a good-looking girl interested in you who shouldn't be, something like that, and it makes a man feel so... I must really be something. How foolish. It wasn't necessarily his face or his character. It's his power.
Yeah.
And that's what he lost over it. Monica Lewinsky, she kind of dropped out of sight for a few years until Hillary ran for election. And then she resurfaced. One of the things that she said was, she's been in severe depression in all the years since. She said, I never stopped loving Bill. Never found anybody else. This young woman who could possibly have had a home and a family and children of her own and a happy life and lost it all because of adultery. And this man got dishonor to himself. When historians, if the world lasts 200 years from now, tell the story of Bill Clinton, they will also tell the story of his infidelity. Folks, if the devil can trick you into that trap, you get a dishonor and a wound that just follows you. It just follows you. And the devil knows that. He'd like to do that. Give us another one, if you would, please, Brother Cornelio. There's Mr. Clinton again. Go one more. I think I got... Well, I'll come back to the double there. This is the expression of a man who got found out. This is David Petraeus. You remember David Petraeus? See those 4 scars on his shoulder? He was director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Yeah.
Am I making an impact on you?
Amen.
I hope so.
That's good.
David Petraeus commanded American forces during the Second Iraq War, David Petraeus had a biographer who was writing a book about him. It's a natural thing to do. Oh, the Bible said, lest thou shouldst ponder the ways of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. It starts out like this innocent girl reporter is going to write a book on you. But there's always a little more than that when there's a man and a woman involved. There are barriers, folks, that the genders need to keep between each other and never let them down. No matter the reason, no matter what one is selling, no matter what the other's reason is, those can be a cover. There's always something else going on in this man's case. He's a married man. He had a family. And he got dishonored because he got involved with this lady and gave her some military secrets and it got found out. And he doesn't wear that uniform anymore. He very narrowly avoided going to prison. Here's another. Peter Strzok, one of the chief officials in the FBI, and the young lady beside him is Lisa Page. Both of them married. And their names have been plastered all over the United States. And he's fired from his job. How would you like to be looking for a job if you were him now? He's a handsome man. He's an intelligent man, a brilliant man. He's got a lot of training and education. He's an attorney. Would you hire him to plead your case? And what about his children, his family? He has brought, both of them have brought dishonor on their families that will never go away as long as they live. Satan wants to sift you like wheat, folks. He sifted Debbie Beard, and it's too late. She was 20 years old, and she'll never get another chance. The devil would do that to every one of us here this morning if he could do it. One more. Tiger Woods. He's an athlete. Yeah. One of the most talented that there's been at the game of golf. At the peak of his game. And where it came out that he'd been playing around with his family. Got involved in having an affair with somebody. His wife wouldn't put up with it. They had children. They separated. It cost him a fortune. Yeah, besides having his name smeared all over the world in dishonor. Because no matter what the world says about it, and the world's gone a long ways toward justifying it today, but it's still got dishonor associated with it, and always will. And so, where once he had a home to go back to every evening, when he got in from the tour or whatever he was doing, he had a family waiting for him. They're not there now.
That's right.
Somebody else has got it. How much does his wealth replace all of that? How could it ever? All the avenues that there are in life, folks, every trade, every occupation, every route you can go, get involved with this, none of it is greater than that. It'll ruin you.
That's right.
It's dangerous. One more. Anthony Weiner.
Yes.
He was running for governor of New York City. He was a congressman from New York. He also had aspirations to be president. That was before he went to prison. And he went to prison because he let the internet get the better of him. And the internet can get the better of you, too. And it can do damage to you just like that. Does that look to you like a happy face? I don't think it was a happy face when he heard those doors clanging shut behind him. And now it's all run. You'll never get it back. Another? That's the last. All right. I want to warn us against those things. Do you have another folder or picture there? I want us to show the children. Give us about 10 seconds on each one. Let's just go through them. But I ask you this. How do you go home and tell your children, we're separating, I'm not going to be here anymore? How do you do that? Who do you want to see raising your children besides you? My daughter-in-law and my son are divorced. So they got the usual arrangements every other weekend, that kind of thing. The reality is, this poll is not recent. When a woman divorces, for every $10 she had before the divorce, she can expect to have $3 after. When a man divorces, he typically will see his children only 3 or 4 times in the next year. I know the judges set orders and things like that, but it doesn't usually work out that way. So for all intents and purposes, you're largely removed from being an effective force, active involvement in your children's lives.
Yeah.
If you let the devil back into that kind of a corner. So my son and my daughter-in-law, he was in a different area. They made arrangements when the time came that they were to have the children change. They'd meet halfway. And they were met there one time, and the children were getting out and going from one car to the other, trying to tell the parent they had to leave goodbye. Everybody was crying. A stranger was sitting there watching that, and he told my daughter-in-law, "That's the saddest thing I ever saw. That's what the devil would like to do to
That's
these
right.
precious vessels we've got right here. Give them a chance. It's all around us. It leaves deep scars on folks." I think that's all of those, but let's bring up the one that's titled Temptation. Hey, I want to talk about that a little bit. That's why men commit adultery. That's Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was described as having a walk so seductive that she could walk rapidly away from a man and make him think that she wanted him. Marilyn Monroe starred in several motion pictures. Didn't really turn out to be a top producer, but she had a run of fame. She gave herself completely to being as seductive as she could be. And she still is a landmark of it today. Some of the most powerful men in the world followed her, were involved with her. The Kennedys, JFK was president at that time, and so forth. And there was a dark, shadowy world around her of others that nobody really knows very much about, because adultery tends to be that way. She got involved in it. She died about halfway through life under mysterious circumstances. I would not consider her wedding to Joe DiMaggio in a particularly happy one. It was one of several. I don't think a woman's heart can really be fulfilled shifting from man to man. The Lord didn't think so either when he talked to that lady there at the well about that sort of thing. But you see, this is the allure that the world sets before our sisters. Paint them up and powder them up. Make them look as glamorous and dramatic as you can. Enticing as you can. And that's how you find somebody. Thank God you made a better way for His people. The Lord wants our sisters to find somebody based on wholesome values. The first of those being respecting other people's property. By which I mean a man that belongs to somebody else. Leave him alone. The special powers, the special places that the Lord gave a woman can be so beautiful. It can add such a powerful dimension to life. It's a thing to be respected. But it can also be used as a weapon. And it can bring so much heartache and sorrow in the world. That's where those little crying faces come from that we were looking at a moment ago. That's what Marilyn Monroe has done. And I think about that when I think about our sisters, and I don't want to be too graphic in the things I have to say this morning. But there's clothing, there's footwear that's designed by the world, intended to allure. There is a way for women to look charming and neat and appropriate and honorable. The Bible put the emphasis on hair. There is a way for women to wear footwear that is designed to make them seductive. I'm thinking of high heels.
Amen.
That is the reality of why they were invented. I understand in today's world to be a chic, well-dressed, working woman. And so many women have been forced into that world by men who wouldn't do their share.
That's right.
But that is part of the wardrobe that you need to have. But it was designed for an evil purpose, in reality, and many other things along with it. The Lord wants godly women to look wholesome, to look beautiful in righteousness.
That's right.
If I may say it that way. But it's properly part of my little message this morning, because these are the tools that the Lord uses. It isn't only men who get ruined. The Lord wants to have women sifted like wheat too. It's giving you the chance to raise your own children and have your own happy home and live the way that He wants you to. To want it, entreat us today. Don't go those ways. God's got something better than that. There is no language to describe how deep the scars go when people cross these barriers. My father and mother were pastors in the gospel work. My father was. My mother, a pastor's wife, before me. I so remember them telling me about one sister in their congregation whose husband got caught in this trap. He talked to us about it, and he said, "I feel like I took the most beautiful jewel there ever was and just took a hammer and broke it all into pieces. But he couldn't put it back together. His regret was real. His tears were real. But he couldn't get it back together." How could she possibly rebuild those bonds like they were before? He had been in a trusted position, and he betrayed it. So she had to make a way by herself. I'll never forget a sister who talked to me about that. I'm going to come back to Dad's case in a moment. She said her husband was being unfaithful to her, and she was elderly. And we had a meeting together, and she sobbed. And she said, "What am I going to do?" She said, "I don't want to be alone. It's hard to be at home at night, and you never know when somebody's breaking in the house. Nobody's coming home, nothing to look forward to. But this is what I got. I can't trust him. I don't know where he's going next, what disease he's going to bring home to me, etc." This lady my folks had in their congregation said, "Dad said, that's the hardest thing I believe I ever saw." Said many nights she'd call us at 3 o'clock in the morning, just sobbing, brokenhearted, sleep hopeless for her, and interrupt our sleep. But she was, and she knew it, but she's so desperate.
Yes.
She got to do something to get some help. That's what this leads to, folks. That's what the devil would like to do to every one of us. The thing that stands between us and that is what we do right here in our worship service. Salvation changes people's hearts and gives better hope. And it's very important to include this in my little discourse this morning too. If there's one thing the Bible teaches, it is that there's a way back. The woman taken in adultery got forgiven, and the Lord had mercy on her. It may take a while, but there is a way for a godly person who gets salvation to live down a bad reputation, to heal the wounds. I've seen enough. I'm thinking of a sister we knew years ago, came to us. Her husband fell into a trap. Somebody got him, "Just come over to my house for a little bit. I need my lawnmower fixed, or I need you to look at my computer. I got a window that's sticking. Come over and help me out," whatever it was. He went over there and he got in a trap, and his wife found out about it. She's all ready to leave him. She was not an easy person. But she told us, "He won my confidence back." She said, "He got so saved and so committed, I believed it." And I believe that it can happen for anybody who wants to get that close to the Lord. That is the message of the gospel. That's part of what baptism is. We're telling the devil in the world that old life is buried. I'm a new creature. Thank God I've been saved and delivered. And it's possible for any of us who get caught in that trap. We sing a song in our hymnal that says, "Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart and handled in kindness, cords that were broken can vibrate once more. As long as we're alive, there's hope. As long as we're alive, and we'll take what we've got and give it to the Lord, ask His forgiveness and mean it, He'll furnish us a basis to start building something wholesome and solid that can be better." That's my thought this morning. I thank you for the courtesy and attention. Could we stand and have a song?